Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, Getaway Friday, February the 16th, 2024, 13 minutes past the hour. Now, Jessica does have to leave about 20 till today, so we'll only have her for about 20 minutes, and then Matt will finish out the hour. But again, Jessica Hauser, who used to be on radio with me on a weekly basis about 12 years ago, back today. Now, you'll come back, won't you? This has been fun so far.
It has been fun.
We haven't scared you away.
I'm starting to... Did we start at like 6 o'clock in the morning?
It was early.
Wasn't it really
It was early?
Early.
Yeah, it was early.
Yeah.
This is much better, isn't it?
It well, for me it is.
Yeah, much better.
Sure.
Much better
yeah,
hours.
I get to wait in a school drop-off line before I come over.
But see, isn't this fun to come once a week and just have it out?
It is fun.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're back. This has been fun this morning.
Yes.
And Matt, good time so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been nice.
So now we do have to say, one of our other listeners out there, Cody, is saying, and this is just to move us out of the topic we were in and move us into the topic we're going to. All glory is fleeting, even for Taylor Swift. So, thank you, Cody. There you go. I guess even for Taylor, everything
thank
is
you.
Fleeting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, moving on. Before we get into the collateral damage breakup topic, which we'll maybe talk about if we can get it in here in the next 20 minutes, Matt, you have a little anecdote.
So, I know these people who got engaged, and they had showed me the engagement ring, and they know that I am a... I guess anti-marriage. So they were like, I just want your opinion on it. And I was like, all right. I asked them how long they'd been together, and they hit me with a 2 months. And I just looked at them, and I was kind of dumbfounded for a second. I was like, 2 months.
Yeah, tongue tied there.
Already engaged.
Don't you think he probably already had that engagement ring? Are you really shopping 2 months into the relationship for an engagement ring?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think it was. I mean. I don't remember exactly when it came about or why.
Is it to you're the one, I've never met anybody like you before stage?
Oh, yeah,
it's for
over.
Sure. It's over.
I think every time I've ever been around this person while they're in a relationship, it's they're the one.
Never met
anybody like them before.
Never met anybody like them before. Jess, what do you got?
Oh, to that one. Ooh, 2 months, that's a tough. What? How old?
My age, so they'll probably be like
20 is your age.
In between like 19 to 21.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it. Why don't do it?
Well, actually, you know, I have seen a lot of marriages work, surprisingly, when you get married so young and, you know, the couples are still married, happily married, a lot more than what I thought would have made it had I turned back the clock. You know, turn back the clock.
How long have they known each other prior,
now,
though?
2 months, that's pretty... Like, I would recommend a nice, long engagement.
So they had dated for the 2 months, but I do believe they've been talking for, like, something like 5 or 6 months overall.
Well, that's a little different. A little different.
Yeah, I've definitely known marriages to come out of six-month relationships and year relationships.
That's got to be poor decision-making.
Well, okay, so I guess the question then is, how long do you have to know somebody before you should pop the question?
So if I was a politician, you know how we just find things as, you know, they just find things as politicians to change. You know, okay, well, we're just going to put this on the ballot because we want... You know, we want to change. So you keep getting all these things over and over and over again, or trying to tweak different things. If I was a politician, I always said that the one thing that I would try to make a law is combining assets in a marriage before you're 30. So you legally cannot combine assets until you're 30.
You can't.
Until you're 30. You can get married. But you cannot combine, you cannot share credit cards, you cannot share house payments, you cannot until you're 30 years old.
So it's like a roommate, really?
It depends on how faithful you are.
Well, see, but here's the thing. A lot of people would look at that kind of like a prenup.
Because those are messy. That's messy.
Right, but a lot of people would look at that like a prenup and mm-hmm. say, this is disingenuous, mm-hmm. that you really don't love the person, that it's just an agreement and...
I think it protects.
What's the point?
I think it protects both parties.
I think so. And not necessarily a prenup, because like I think a lot of younger marriages don't do prenups.
They should.
Yeah, you don't really have anything. And it would get a little messy, because in a marriage and in a relationship, you know, you do work together towards a goal, a common goal of, you know, whatever that may be.
But see, isn't that the problem? Because as much as you would try to separate things like paychecks, property, assets, the problem is groceries, things you buy for the house, I assume you're living together, repairs you make. Somebody's going to get the dinners you might go out and eat.
Those aren't assets.
No, but somebody's going to get the burden of that, and maybe they'll feel like, listen.
Right.
You know, you should have been paying more.
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be a pretty controversial topic.
Well, it would be, but I don't. So this is to protect people because getting married that young is likely not going to work?
Possibly. I've seen a lot work, though.
You've seen a lot work.
I've seen a lot work.
Is the majority not working?
No. I would say the majority of the marriages do.
So maybe you need protection after 30. Maybe if you get married
that's
before.
That's a good one.
Yeah, maybe if you get married before 30, you can be free and clear. But if you get married after 30, then you need the protection.
2 months.
That's rough.
Okay, so that was the question.
That's not very long.
How long do you have to know the person?
Oh, right. So they asked me for my opinion on how long, and I said you got to have like a minimum of 3 years.
A minimum of three?
Minimum of three.
Ooh.
3 years to be married? Or three years to get engaged?
Well, I mean, I guess get engaged, but, you know, I mean, I guess it really just depends on how fast you do one right after the other. I don't know that there's, like, a timeline on how long you're supposed to wait after getting engaged for being married.
Oh, there should be something.
Well, I mean, you know, give it, like, 6 months. At that point, you know, 3 years, 6 months, what's the difference?
About 2.5 years.
No. I mean, like, wait 3 years, get engaged, 6 months later, wedding.
Oh, between
that. So 3.5 years overall.
I do think that it takes a good year to get to know somebody.
I don't know. I think if I'm going to sign my soul away to become legally obligated to be attached to this person.
Your perspective on this is so negative.
Sign your soul?
I have to sign a piece of paper that legally binds me to this person. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to be around them all the time.
You see, that's
like in space.
See, that's what you think. And then all of a sudden, they live with you. And then you go home, and they're there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, living is a deal breaker. I mean, honest to goodness. If you could have, like, maybe a marriage where you live separately, that might be nice.
You know, I might be okay with that. Then I got my own space. I can go home and just chill whenever I want to.
Okay, the whole point is for you to love this person so much.
No.
That you want to be with them every minute, right? You would want to come home to that person to tell them about your day.
That sounds like a psychotic trance of some kind.
Oh,
whoa, a psychotic trance. No, but no, you know, I'm okay with what you said, but every minute?
Every minute.
I don't think I've ever liked anybody enough to be around them every minute.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's why we all work.
Yeah, that's exactly. You need a little break in the day.
Right. Or get involved, you know, if you don't work. Just try to get involved in different things. And I've definitely known, like, you know, people to have workshops outside or man caves and basements and stuff. Like, figure out ways that, you know, you could make that work, I suppose.
I don't know. It all to me just seems, and again, if people want to get married, knock themselves out. I'm not certainly giving anybody advice not to do it. I think this applies to more people under the age. I had to do this the other day on Valentine's Day. I think this applies to people under the age of 50. That's who I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. Because I think social media came in, and I think it has changed marriage. I think it has changed relationships. I think it has changed how people meet. I think it has changed how people communicate. And I think that's a big, big issue.
Absolutely. It has.
Like, I think people, when they got married before, they had to talk to each other. They couldn't so easily get in contact with somebody else. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do these things. And it's also created more things for people to do in general to ignore the other person, which a lot of people don't like, they get ignored. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely.
And how many things get misread? How many times now when a relationship ends do you hear, I looked at his phone, I looked at her phone? If you had to look, this probably wasn't the most solid thing to begin with.
Yeah, good point.
So yeah. I do think anybody over 50, that's a different thing. But I think if you're under 50, I think we just live in a different world. It's a different type of thing. And I think it's very, 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 very hard, no matter how much you like the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think all the different transitions in my life have made dating. Like, I mean, it just, you know, the whole dynamic as my life changes and as I add more to my life, you know, I have different, you know, different jobs, different obligations, different responsibilities, you know, children, you know, all
children
have
become a big thing.
It's really hard. It's hard to keep grasping my mind, like around surface, you know, opinions like that, because, you know, my life keeps changing. So it's, you know, every year it's different. Okay, what are we looking at now? And, you know, and in a relationship, you know, if you're in a relationship, you want to be in a relationship and you like being in a relationship. That's what you want. You know, I don't know who would be in a relationship doesn't want to be in one.
Because I think people have a hard time saying no. And I think, because if somebody pursues you, I think it's very hard for a lot of people to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also, at some point, if you're not in a relationship and you're in your 40s, 30s, there might be some level of boredom in your life during the week to where maybe you do get depressed. You're sitting at home and going, I wish I was out doing something.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, this is why I believe people who are very career-oriented and like their job and are willing to drop everything at you know, the drop of a hat, I think those people are not so relationship oriented, because they're not coming home to the empty house. They're not, you know, they don't feel so alone.
Thoughts? Do you have a girlfriend?
I do not know.
Boyfriend?
I do not know.
you have to ask both ways nowadays.
I mean, I just don't.
Where does your anti-marriage stem from? Where did this?
But it's a 20-year-old anti-marriage, yeah, though, so that's a whole other thing.
A 20-year anti-marriage?
Yeah, I've gotten...
20 years old, anti-marriage.
I mean, like, I've gotten that a lot, too, which is fair. Like, I just do a lot, like... So, like, I just don't like relationships, because, like, when I'm in a relationship, like, the girl that I'd be in a relationship with, she, like... I have to respond to her. Like, I have to respond to her. Like, I gotta talk to her. Like, I don't necessarily have to get her things. I have to spend time with her. Like she wants to, like, if I'm not at work or I'm not
I
at
can
the,
feel the energy coming up
or,
the room.
I'm not at
yeah,
the,
it is.
I'm
up,
not at the radio
up.
Station. I'm like, hey, can I come over? Hey, can I come over? You want to do something? No, we've done something in the last 5 days. You have friends. I have friends. I'll go hang out with my friends. You go hang out with your friends. We can be separate people. Okay.
Right. Yes. Yeah, you're not ready for a relationship.
Good.
So what do you have to learn? What do you have to learn coming from a different perspective, a different age group?
Oh, well, I think a relationship should happen very naturally. So, you know, if you're having thoughts like that and feelings like that, then yeah, you probably just shouldn't even be in a relationship, you know.
But isn't it at some point, don't you begin to soften on things that maybe at 20 years old that you thought were very important? Like, I think at 20,
absolutely,
yeah, I think looks at 20 are a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think what people are doing in general with their life, because they really haven't gotten into their career. What's your goals? Are you career oriented? Where are you headed here? At 20, I don't think you think about that when you're 40. I think that things start to matter. It's much more the person. Like, you know, when you're 20 and you say, oh, personality is what I really like. Okay, probably not. But at 40, maybe. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe your personality is what the person likes.
Mm. Your personality, your perspectives, everything can change the older you get and the experiences that you have. So much that, you know, you do have more, I think, more perspective you have a little bit more firmness on, you know, on things and ideas. And life can soften you. I mean, you can go through experiences that make you, you know, care more just in general, have a bigger heart,
you know,
and more recognition of how short life is and, well, you know, and that kind of thing.
Carrington, who will be with us tonight, at one point, because she's not married, but I don't think she's in a relationship, or at least that I'm aware of, she told me, or told us, I think it was on the air one time, that one of the big things that she looks for in a guy is finances. That she's, because she said his tax return. So there you go.
And I wish I could be on that show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, isn't that interesting? I bet that finances, and I do think, because now again, this is not about women. This is only because I'm a guy, and it could be just the opposite. But I've known a lot of women who have kids, and they get to be 40, and they're the single mom, and that's a lot of work, and that's a lot of money, and that's a lot of stuff. And if you are one income now, when things are high, it's a little tough. And if somebody comes in and is willing to buy dinner, and somebody's willing to take you places and pay the bill, and somebody's willing to help out, if you move in together right there, you've cut your expenses in half. I love that person.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I get her perspective there.
Yeah. So that is a false, that's a bad one. Because then you really aren't engaged in the person. You're engaged with what the person did for you. And eventually that will get old.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think.
So how do you get around that? How do you know who's in it? Because we've talked about this a lot and in our final 10 minutes here with you. How long does the show last? Because there is a show in the beginning. We've talked about this. You take the person out to dinner. You pay for the meals all the time. You take them out every weekend. It's always an adventure. Everything's big. That's not forever.
Oh, it can be.
Really?
It can be. Especially if you really want to. You're right. There's a little bit of the butterflies that do eventually kind of go away. So, you know, in the dating scene. But then it does go back to just how much you care about who you're with, you know, and then, you know, maybe that initial, like, spark and excitement and all of that's gone, but then there's a new season of your relationship that can get so much better as you grow and learn one another and you know, and more trust forms and more, you know, more moments and experiences that, you know, that you can look back on that bring you joy and happiness. And then, you know, once that little show period ends, then there's a lot of, like, I think, like trying to feel out the other side, you know, because it's not clouded at the beginning of this relationship, but then there's some disagreeing moments, you know,
see, that's,
there's like, okay, you know, wait a minute, or here, or whatever, you know, and I think if you can get beyond that and start, you know, kind of growing your life more and more, there's a major beauty in a really good relationship that can occur after all of that.
I would agree with most things you said there. I just don't think it can start if in the beginning the thing that's making you like them, and I don't think you know this a lot of times, is what they're bringing to your life financially. I think that's a big, big problem.
I have a hard time with, you know, that, really, because, you know, I mean, you're kind of talking about me, a single mom, and
No, but I don't.
But I guess I've never,
think you're looking for somebody.
At this point in time, don't solicit anybody to take care of me financially.
Well, so I don't think it's take care.
However, I do raise my eyebrows if somebody wants me to take care of them financially. Now I'm like, no.
No, but I mean, honest to goodness, and maybe this is just an old holdover from days gone by. If you go on a date with a guy, do you expect him to pay? Is that still a thing?
You know, my rule of thumb has always been, whoever asks, pays. That's always been the thing. So, friends, yes, friends, you organize a night. Hey, friends, you know, we're going out. Would you like to join us for dinner? You know, if I do the invite, I'd like to pick up the tab. You know, because my friends might not be able to afford that dinner. They want to go, but, you know, they might, you know, maybe I want to do something super fancy, you know, and the same thing in a dating relationship, like, you know, if the guy doesn't ask me out, he might not want to take me out to a $500 dinner, you know, so yeah, if we're going to McDonald's, but usually my rule of thumb has always been whoever asks.
So if you go to McDonald's, pays. He pays.
Whoever asks, pays.
Yeah, but okay, I guess what I'm saying is if you're being pursued by somebody, clearly the guy is asking.
Yep.
So if the guy asks,
better pay.
See, I think
if
people
he
should go
me
Dutch.
Out on a date, he
people
needs
should
to pay.
Go Dutch in the beginning.
Split the bill.
Split the bill.
Absolutely.
Then there's no problem.
Right.
There's no, because you know what happens? Here's the problem. If the guy does pay and you find out somewhere over the course of that dinner that you don't like that girl, or that that girl is not liking you, and that's where it ends, you feel a little like, oh, I paid for that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I paid for a bad time.
Well, you know. That would be bad.
Yeah. You don't like that. So I think going Dutch is safe in the beginning.
Appetizers.
Just have appetizers.
And a coffee.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I just think money does play a major part. That's an older thing, though. I don't think that does play a big part in your 20s. I don't think you're worried about, can this person support our vacations that I would want to take as a family? Can this person make sure we have a new car every year? Can this person support two cars? Can this person pay the house insurance? Can we get a house together and afford the mortgage payment? I don't think that plays in when you're in your 20s. I certainly think that plays in when you're in your 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you are having a hard time financially, that is... You can confuse that with love, because this person comes in, you can't afford to eat out, all of a sudden every weekend you're going out to eat and you're not paying a thing. You don't like to drive, all of a sudden they're driving everywhere, paying for the gas. It's a different thing.
It is.
Yeah. So I asked somebody once, I hate to say this because they might be listening to this show, but what the heck. I asked somebody once, when they got into a new relationship, you know, relationship number 7,476, because I'm curious at this point, and this is somebody in their 40s, I said, why do you like this person? And I didn't know the person at all, so they could have said anything. I said, why do you like this person? And here's what they said, and whether this was trying to be facetious or not, I don't know. But they said to me, they said, I haven't had to pay for anything, and they drive everywhere. That's why they like them.
I've had a lot of girlfriends like that.
Exactly.
It's even more than that.
Yeah, yeah. So what is that? That to me, I went, oh.
Plastic surgery.
I've
seen it all.
Do you know the amount of, and again, I'm not trying to be male-female here, but do you know the number of girls in Marion, Ohio that get Botox?
I'm sure there's quite a few.
Quite a few. I would have never guessed that. I thought that's a New York, California, Chicago thing. That's not going on in Marion, Ohio.
It was in the beginning.
Yeah, but if you look at when I look at somebody in their 40s.
You're wondering?
I go, well, they look pretty good for somebody in their 40s. I wonder what's been punched into their face. You know?
You mean you don't get Botox? Your forehead looks really good.
I know. I'm all Botoxed up today.
You're very glowy.
Am I glowing today?
I'm glowy, yes.
Maybe I'm in love. Maybe it's one of those things. I'm in love. I'm glowing and I'm Botoxed up. No, but I never would have dreamed that. But a girl told me one time, and I won't say who it was, but the girl told me that they had just gotten back from Botox. Like it was, they had went to the grocery store.
Right.
You know, went and got the Botox. And I thought, oh. Because a lot of people think this person looks good for their age. And I don't think you can ask that anymore once you've gotten the Botox.
Oh, absolutely not. Nope.
Yeah, because now it's false.
Yeah, yeah, you have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Matt, what do you think? Why don't guys worry about this, though?
When's your Botox appointment?
Yeah, yeah. Why don't we ask? That's a double standard, really. Because we don't think of guys. Maybe I did get the Botox. You never know.
I mean, I don't know. I think that women just tend to care more about the physical appearance overall than men do, for whatever reason.
About themselves, but not about the other person. You know, dye the hair, get the Botox.
I mean, I think
tan's a big thing.
A lot of times, people just don't want to come off as old.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the fear of aging, really, is what it is. Then. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with it? You are your age, regardless of what you do to yourself. You are your age.
I'd still want to.
Just like reclaiming.
I know.
They just like.
He's looking at you.
I know.
He's trying to think.
I wonder what's going to happen 20 years from now.
Yeah.
As far as the aging. Well, hey.
Are you fearful of aging?
It's all just going to be Bitmoji.
Yeah,
at that
point, you want to see people.
You can look whatever you can look like whatever you want.
Now, do you worry about aging?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I don't like aging.
Really?
Oh no.
At this age, you worry about
I love. Okay, the non-physical side of aging. You know, I love all of the life experiences and everything that You know, that's like, I love that.
We'll save that for another show because yeah. Matt loves to talk about that, about aging.
I love learning. I love, you know, bad experiences, good experiences, all around, you know, just
perspective.
Life. Yeah, just life. So, you know, I love that. But physically, no, I don't like aging at all.
Really?
No.
See, I don't think that. I don't know. Maybe.
Or having a baby. Oh, my goodness, what that does to your body. Ugh. I am so glad that they
have well,
to go, you know, to go from like a size 2 and then you have a baby and your hips are like, you know, they don't even, it's not that they don't fit, like they're a completely different shape. Like my nice little triangle hips turn square. Like I don't even know.
No,
I don't
but
even
you're
know
aware
how
of this.
That.
You're aware. Does it lower your self-esteem?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like.
Is this why people should be liking you though?
Why?
Because that's very superficial. That's,
I don't care. I'll be superficial.
No, but that's you don't want somebody liking you for superficial reasons, do you, at this point?
Superficial relationships are great.
Oh.
They're way less deep.
Really?
Way less deep.
But now wait, but before, because I know you got to go, but what is a superficial relationship to you? What's the definition of that?
I'm not sure. Where you really don't talk about much. It's just very, you know, vanilla.
But really?
Yeah, I think
But
so.
That's okay.
It can be okay, yes. Sometimes
How
I
long
just
does
love
that
superficial
last?
Relationships.
How long does that
those
go on?
Those can last forever.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, the final thing here in our final 2 minutes that I want to spend on, because Valentine's Day just happened, and what I was fascinated with was all the pictures of people telling me how much they loved each other.
Yeah.
See, I think you
Isn't
should...
Isn't that cute?
No.
No, because... No, because... Here's why. Because you tell that person, do something for that person. I'm okay with all of that. Listen, that's what you probably should be doing. But I don't know why I need to know about it. It's like you're proving something to me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. You go back to the social media, though. You know, all of that's changed. And, you know, social media is very, you know, it's a big thing now.
It is a big thing, but do you feel obligated to do that?
Well...
I guess I know women who got who will get upset that their boyfriends didn't post them on their story.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Which
if
is
you didn't tell me happy birthday on Facebook.
Irrational.
Yeah, that's a big thing. It's totally irrational. I got into it.
It's kind of a territorial. It's a territorial thing.
You know what's funny though? Last night, just to put a pin in this, I was having a conversation with a girl who I'm not. There's nothing going on, but they. Did not like that I didn't respond to them. That wouldn't happen with another guy. We would not be having that conversation.
Wait, say that again.
It was a girl. There's no relationship there, but she was upset that I didn't respond to her. Now, it only came up when it just came up in kind of a weird way. I don't think she would have ever just brought it up out of the blue. Why aren't you responding to me? But it became the central issue. It was, why don't you respond? I send things to you.
Right.
Why don't you do that?
Right.
A guy would never say that.
I just think a lot of the times, like, messages that you receive don't necessarily need a response. Like, you get the message.
That's what I thought.
And it's just like, it's like an okay.
I wasn't being
like,
rude.
You want me to, like, waste my time to spell out okay, hit send, and like at that point, I just read the message and be like, okay.
If it was a question.
Hey, you know, it's cheaper than buying dinner.
Responding? Responding.
Cheaper than buying dinner.
It's one of those things. I don't know.
I'll leave on that note.
Thank you for coming in. Thanks for coming. It's All been right. fun. Jessica Hauser, we appreciate her coming back, and you'll be back, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Matt, that was a lot of fun. Now, why do we always have to respond?
You know, I'm not sure. I think that they think we're ignoring them, but in reality, I either, one, don't have a response to it, or two, I didn't feel there was a response necessary.
If it's not a question, is it a big deal?
I mean, yeah. Sometimes I even, I mean,
yeah.
I don't think it's a big deal, no. I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Mary Ellen, you want to come up here for the little remainder of our show?
Oh, well, I brought some pictures of my...
Oh, great.
...swearing in that I'm going to leave with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What are you...
I think we're just going to talk about some things, like what we talked about the other night that people haven't seen yet.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to stick around for 20 minutes?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
You hear that, Well, I assume you heard, but, sorry, off topic, but Tucker Carlson. I watched.
Oh, yes, Tucker Carlson interviewed Putin.
I watched the full interview.
You watched the two hours?
I did, yeah.
What did you think? A lot of people feel Tucker Carlson got taken advantage of.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
That Putin. You thought it was a good interview, or you thought that Putin?
I thought it was a good interview. I don't necessarily believe anything Putin says.
No. But the knock was is that Putin used him because Putin said he wanted Biden to stay president, and I don't think clearly that's what he wants. Putin said that he wanted Biden. He felt that it would be better for him if Biden stayed president.
I mean, I don't recall that. I mean, I know that he was asked about because he was talking about. Oh, actually, I did want to ask Mary Ellen about this. Hey, Mary Ellen. Yeah. So in this interview, Vladimir Putin had said that there was a meeting that he had with Bill Clinton. And in this meeting, he had asked Bill Clinton about joining NATO. And Bill Clinton had been like, you know, that's an interesting proposition. I think that we could probably make that happen. And then later that day, they had dinner. And then Bill Clinton told him that, no, they probably could not make that happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think that was about?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Well, at that time, you got to remember, though, Putin was not seen how he's seen today.
Yeah.
Every president, W. Bush met with Putin, Obama met with Putin, and it was, I don't know that it was always the best relationship, but it certainly was cordial. We didn't see them as such the adversary that we do now.
Oh, no. I want to know why, over the course of not even 24 hours, they went from, yeah, we could probably make that happen, to Bill Clinton saying, I talked to my advisors and no, we probably couldn't have that happen.
Well, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, the advisors.
Said, we don't want to do that.
The advisors say, this is not a good idea. Yeah, this is not the way to go.
Interesting.
Yeah. Here you go, Marielle. Let me give you this microphone. There you go. Because I did want to... Governor Strickland was on with us this morning.
Oh, really?
He was.
What's he doing?
He's still busy down in Columbus.
Is he?
But interestingly enough, he had a lot to say this morning about what we've learned this week about DeWine and the whole First Energy scandal.
Really?
Yeah. Have you followed this week?
No.
Well, it's very interesting. I'll read the whole story, and you just give me any thought you want on the whole thing. But I don't think Matt's heard. Did you hear Governor Strickland earlier when we talked about this?
Yeah,
this is the story as it goes this week. Putting Sam Randazzo of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio could go down on as the Public Utilities Commissioner of Ohio could go down as one of the biggest mistakes of Mike DeWine's governorship. DeWine named Randazzo to the powerful board in early 2019 despite being warned that Randazzo was too close to the Akron-based First Energy. Randazzo received a $4.3 million payment from First Energy shortly before DeWine picked him, a payment that DeWine's top aide knew about but failed to tell him the details of. Now, this is a quote from DeWine. I'm not worried about my legacy, DeWine said on Wednesday. Look, we all make mistakes. Every call I make as governor is not right. I do the best I can. I base it on the facts that I have. Shortly after they were elected, DeWine and Lieutenant Governor John Husted took a private dinner meeting with Jones and Dowling, who were, they knew Mike DeWine, let's put it that way, at the Athletic Club of in Columbus in December of 2018. At the dinner, according to state prosecutors, the executives pressured DeWine to consider appointing Randazzo to the PUCO chairman. A First Energy lobbyist and longtime DeWine advisor offered tips on how to lobby him. This is what they said. Explain things like DeWine doesn't know anything about it, and be surprised when he does. 6 years later, Governor DeWine doesn't recall Randazzo's name coming up at the dinner, and he still maintains that appointing Randazzo, an experienced energy attorney, made sense at the time. Now, this is the big thing in this whole bit. During the PUCO appointment process, DeWine's then chief of staff, Laurel Dawson, learned that Randazzo had received a $4.3 million payment from First Energy, according to the indictment. Dawson also received a 198-page report from interested parties opposed to Randazzo leading the PUCO. FBI agents were outside 645 South Grand Avenue in Columbus, which is owned by PUCO Chairman Sam Randazzo. However, the governor said he didn't learn of the $4.3 million until the FBI searched Randazzo's Columbus condo in November 2020. Why didn't Dawson tell DeWine about the payment in January of 2019 as he considered appointing Randazzo? You'd have to ask her, the governor said on Wednesday. So for 2 years, DeWine's chief of staff knew about the payment, and DeWine didn't.
Well, I've said all along he did.
So you believe he's lying here, basically.
Yes, I do.
How can you be at these dinners
right.
and not recall
right.
Talking about age and memory, he seems to be having some memory issues all of a sudden.
Well, my goodness.
Yeah, but why doesn't he take the heat that Biden has taken the last week for giving these answers of, I don't know, I don't remember?
He's not as strong a person.
Governor Strickland said earlier that he knew the chief of staff, and he said when he was governor, there would be no way
right.
that 2 years could pass and he would not know something
right.
that his chief of staff knew.
That's absolutely true, yeah.
Now, you had a staff, certainly, when yeah. you were governor of the state of Ohio and certainly treasurer of the United States.
I was treasurer of Ohio.
Treasurer, what did I say, governor?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
that could have happened, too. That was on the verge of happening, too. You had a staff. Did you always know what they were doing or what they knew?
Well, I knew the important things.
How do you stay on top of that?
Well, you have to have their trust, and they have to have your trust. Yeah, it's you have to believe in one another with your staff.
Is DeWine going to be able to make it through this by just giving these answers?
I don't think so. Well, he's retiring anyway, isn't he?
Yeah, but John Husted is running for governor, and he was at this meeting.
Okay, yeah, he's going to have to answer a few things.
Do you think this is one of those scandals that may be too complicated for the average person to follow? There are a lot of ins and outs to this thing.
Well, I think a lot of people are paying attention to this. I really do.
Matt, what do you think? Well, you heard about this earlier. And what Governor Strickland had to say.
I mean, when I was listening at work earlier, Ted Strickland had said that when he was governor of Ohio, First Energy had so much influence on in Columbus that he was like it was almost surprising.
Governor Strickland was on earlier, he said when he was governor, which was long prior to Governor DeWine, he called First Energy thuggish.
Yeah, that's a good word. That's the word he used.
So if Strickland knew that they were thuggish 15 years prior to DeWine becoming governor, how does DeWine not know that
right.
they are thuggish?
Right. I've said all along he knew. Yeah.
Well, and also John Husted, by the way, was in pretty good with First Energy, his mm-hmm. lieutenant governor, and Governor Strickland told us this morning, and I hope I'm getting this right, Matt, double check me on this, that he knows Governor DeWine's chief of staff pretty well, and that her husband works for First Energy.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting? And yet, Governor DeWine doesn't know anything.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, what... Is there any way at this point he can get around this, Governor DeWine? Because it's starting to heat up now.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, it's pretty much out there, isn't it?
It's out there,
yeah.
But he's still able to... Do you think he really doesn't care about his legacy?
Oh, I'd think he would.
He's been involved a long time.
Yeah.
What have you made of... we talked the other night about Biden and the special report and calling into question his memory. What have you made the last few days? Do you think it's dying down now a little bit?
Yes. And also, did you see where the FBI guy was saying false things about him and his son? And that's pretty bad.
Why do you think... Has it always been this way, or is this just people getting caught now?
I never knew of the FBI doing bad things before. It's always a surprise when I hear something like that.
You know, it's interesting, because I do want to spend our last 8 minutes here before we go to break, and Pastor Craig comes on next. Mary Ellen, you were recently at the Historical Society and got some pictures of your swearing in, and again, mm-hmm. there's going to be some big events coming up here around the anniversary time of the 30th anniversary of Mary Ellen's swearing in, the 29th and the 1st, and we'll tell you more about those in the weeks to come, but what's it like looking at those pictures?
Oh, it brings all these memories back. I was doing it yesterday, too, trying to find the speech that I gave. And I just really enjoyed it. I was remembering things by looking at the pictures. I thought there's a lot of pictures that should be up on the wall in the Historical Society.
When you think back on that day now, after looking at these pictures and remembering these things, what comes to your mind?
A lot of fun that I had with everything. Yeah.
Do you miss those days?
Yeah. But I don't have the energy for it. It takes a lot of energy. But, yeah, I miss it. Yeah.
You know, Matt said something the other night, which was interesting. He was talking about how he was looking you up when you were in office. And he said, basically, Mary Ellen looked like a strong lady, a tough lady in her day.
Oh, yeah, powerful woman.
Powerful woman, I think is what he said.
Yeah, powerful woman.
I like that.
Yeah. I thought, would you have considered yourself a powerful woman?
I was.
Yeah.
I held a lot of power in my job.
Yeah. Was that important to convey? Because obviously it's conveyed.
Well, it was conveyed through my responsibility. I mean, and how I operated, that conveyed that I was strong. You know, they couldn't push me around.
Well, this is an interesting, in our last 6 minutes, this is an interesting point, because you said the other night that when you first got involved in politics, that you were nervous about giving speeches.
And, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you go from that to being a strong mm-hmm. person. How do you get there?
You build. It builds all through. It's a gradual process.
Yeah. When you think about it now, are there a lot of strong women
yes.
in government?
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's some wonderful women. Yeah. I really enjoy talking to them.
The women in your time who were maybe contemporaries, did you feel that they were also strong women?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Dianne Feinstein and the women in the State Treasurers Association. We were all such good friends. And Ann Richards.
Oh, Ann Richards, she absolutely.
Was, yeah, and I need to look up the, I think it was the Kansas treasurer that was so strong, that played the harp. And she was governor of Kansas. And but you know something interesting about her? She switched politics, and that's tough to do. It happens once in a while, but I thought, I don't think you could do that in Ohio. I don't know.
Mm.
You know?
Switch parties?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're very stark mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could, in the middle, switch a party. Do you think we're ever going to see the emergence of a third party? They talk about it all the time.
Well, if there's any time you're going to see it, it's now, you know?
Do you think, they keep talking about this, that Biden and Trump are both unpopular. Do you think that this is going to cause the rise of a third party this time getting a lot of votes?
Well, I don't know, but it's got the possibility there. You know, you just don't know what will happen. I wouldn't even be surprised if neither one of them end up running. I mean, I think if something could happen here.
With Trump and Biden?
Yes. I've thought that all along. There could be a total change in what this race is going to be.
Do you think it would be based on their unpopularness, or
no,
I guess
no, it'd be on something that will happen. It could be that Trump goes to prison, okay? And Biden says, well, I'm not going to run now. I don't have to beat him. You know, that could happen.
Do you think Biden would be running at this time in his life if Trump wasn't?
No, this is the only reason he's running. He thinks he's the only one that can beat him. And I think he is the only one that could beat him.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think that if Biden cannot get over this age thing by the time of the convention, that the Democratic Party might make a change?
No, I don't think they would. No, I doubt that would happen.
It's interesting. I was thinking the other night after we talked that Biden's 81, and we talked about the younger Democrats who we talked about Gavin Newsom and people who, Kamala Harris. But you know what? There is still a bench of Democrats, because if age truly is the issue here, if that's what we're worried about, there is a group of Democrats who are younger than Joe Biden, but who are not necessarily in their 40s and 50s. I mean, Hillary Clinton is younger than Joe Biden. So there are people like that who are still around that I certainly think at one point wanted to be president.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think she would run, though.
Do you think that she could have beat Donald Trump four years later?
She did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so could she at this point?
I don't know. I have no idea. I couldn't understand what happened the last time. Yeah. Everybody was in shock after that election that night.
Are you surprised that in the last presidential election, 2020, and in this one, that we don't have a woman as one of the major party candidates after having it in 2016?
No, I'm not surprised at that.
How long do you think it's going to take?
It depends on what kind of a person comes forward. It would have to be somebody that's a strong person.
Yeah.
Well, first of all.
Right. Is that, do you, when you are a female today, do you, you got to be strong, certainly, because there's a lot coming at you, but do you also, do they want you to be, I don't know. The rub on Hillary, I guess, was always that she was too strong. She was too forceful. She ran Bill Clinton. She wanted to be in all the business. People didn't like that. So I don't know where you go.
It's weird.
Darned if you do, darned if you don't in those particular cases.
Right.
But do you think Nikki Haley's going to make it through South Carolina?
I don't think so, but I give her credit for hanging in there. I really do, although I'm not much of a person that admires her, but I give her credit for that.
She is starting to punch on Donald Trump a little more now.
Well, yeah, if she'd have done it sooner, I'd have been a little happier, but when she was in the debates.
Might have helped her case.
Yeah.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have Mary Ellen here, and we're going to now go look at these pictures and plan for these events coming up. Matt's here. Pastor Craig is coming up next, but Matt and I will be back with Pastor Craig after noon at 12:15. So stay tuned to this station for much more programming.
Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought Marva, I wanted the M, so Marva Gibbs had a better rhythm to me.
Marla.
And so